This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on Monday, April 17th, the last working Monday of the month of April 2017. My name is Audrey Raj, and on the show with me today is Angeline Tay.
Yes, we have 2 3-day weekends coming up back to back. Next week for the King's installation and the following week for Labor Day. You have to love working here in Malaysia, you know. Well, speaking of work, let's get right into story one.
Yes, so we're going to start out with some disturbing news. We know it's a Monday and we don't want to start out on too much of a bummer, but we think this is pretty important and needs to be addressed as a top story. So the Times in the UK is reporting that leaked internal emails are showing that employees at one of the world's leading pharmaceutical companies called Aspen Pharmacare were calling for a celebration over price hikes of cancer drugs.
Yeah, I would use the word disgusting instead of disturbing because this is wrong on so many levels. The staff at Aspen Pharmacare actually plotted to destroy stocks of life-saving medicines during a price dispute with the Spanish Health Ministry in 2014. Aspen basically purchased 5 different cancer drugs from British firm GSK, which is a GlaxoSmithKline, and tried to sell the medicines, which are used to treat the lives of people who desperately need it, up to 40 times higher than their original price.
And then you wonder why those crazy conspiracy theories about pharmaceutical companies holding back cancer treatments just to make more money from ineffective drugs come about, right? You wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, with stories like this, how do you expect the common people to have any trust?
Exactly. I mean, just listen to this, right? In 2013, the price of one pack of generic chemo drug called Busulfan went from £5.20 to £65.22 in England and Wales, according to the newspaper. And the other 4 drugs, including Leucuran, which is obviously used by leukemia patients, and Melphalan for skin and ovarian cancers, also went up 4 times more expensive. I don't even know if you can term this as price hikes or if daylight robbery is like a better description.
You know, at the end of the day, the patient pays the price. Anyway, back to the leaked email, an Aspen employee appeared to write, "We've signed new reimbursement and price agreements successfully. Price increases are basically in line with European target prices. Let's celebrate."
Guess they won't be celebrating for long now. That's not even the end of it. And then, when bargaining over drug prices in Spain, Aspen apparently threatened to stop selling the cancer treatments unless the health minister agreed to increase the price up to 4,000%.
4,000%.
Yeah, that's according to a Spanish online newspaper. And now another leaked email appears to reveal that staff at Aspen discussed literally destroying their supplies of the drug so that they could jack up the price for a limited supply of stocks left.
Now, how is this possible? I mean, why aren't there any regulatory bodies to block these sort of, you know, terrible, terrible tactics? I mean, you know, apparently the price increases are possible by a loophole that allows drug companies to change the price of medicine if they are no longer branded with the same name.
Right.
So the loophole is designed to make drugs cheaper once the patents have expired. But if the drug companies have no competition, on the flip side, they are free to raise the prices as well.
Yeah, and according to the Times investigation, Aspen said it would stop supplying Italy with the drugs in October 2013 if authorities did not agree with price rises up to 2,000% in 3 months. In crude terms, this is basically extortion at this point. They're bullying their way into the market because of these aggressive tactics.
Yeah, I'm not sure how effective the countermeasures will be, but a Department of Health spokesperson said new laws were being introduced this year, allowing the government to take action against excessive price rises on unbranded generic medicines. They're working closely with the Competition and Markets Authority on unwarranted price rises of unbranded generic medicines, and where companies have breached competition law, they will seek damages and invest that money into the NHS, the health services.
The problem with these laws, I feel, is that it takes a long time to implement and they're very, very vague and have even more loopholes, right? And by the time it happens, millions of people are affected by companies like Aspen. I guess we'll just have to wait and see if these efforts to curb the problem actually work in the long run.
Well, I honestly hope they do. Anyway, let's move on to something a little less distressing, you know. It's a Monday. Monday.
Yeah, and from one giant company to the next, at least our next story is trucking along the direction of humanity.
Trucking along. I see what you did there, Ange. All right, so Tesla CEO Elon Musk tweeted that the company was planning to introduce a new semi-truck in September with an electric pickup to follow in about 18 to 24 months. He just doesn't stop leveling up his plans.
Nope. And the big truck was actually first hinted last July when Musk unveiled his master plan part deux. He had previously expressed interest in a pickup several years ago, about the same time Tesla began searching for a site for its gigafactory battery plant.
Now, exactly how big is this truck? It's still unclear at the moment, but they noted that Tesla's semi will deliver a substantial reduction in the cost of cargo transport while increasing safety and making it really fun to operate.
And the thing is, Tesla isn't the only company looking to electrify commercial vehicles. There are already hybrid buses being used and some limited application all-electric products as well. The big challenges are basically range and charging time, and those are big limitations for trucks than for passenger vehicles. And Tesla isn't the only one looking at zero emissions trucks either. There are startups in Salt Lake City called Nikola Motor that just unveiled a hydrogen fuel cell semi. And even Toyota is working on something similar.
Yeah, and then don't forget Daimler AG, the parent of both Mercedes-Benz and Freightliner. They showed off a prototype battery truck just, I think, in November. But it would allow a maximum 124 miles per charge, which probably limits its use to just doing like some local deliveries.
Coming back to this pickup truck, Musk tweeted and said it will be unveiled in 18 to 24 months, which isn't too far off, I know, at all. Tesla began dropping hints about a pickup truck way back when it was looking for the Gigafactory, as mentioned earlier. Some people thought it was more of a publicity stunt than reality, you know, since one of the finalists for the plant was the state of Texas, the country's largest pickup truck market.
Okay, let's get a bit technical now for a second. Musk said he's interested in the possibility of using swappable batteries to counter this charging problems, some charging problems, because it's difficult to charge the truck in like enough to run long distances. So swappable batteries is something that would eliminate the need for motorists to wait at a charging station while the vehicle is being juiced up.
And in series of tweets last Thursday, Musk confirmed that the company's planned Roadster would be a convertible, and he also confirmed the final production-ready version of the Tesla Model 3 sedan will be unveiled in July, about the same time it is set to go into production.
Of course, Musk has his naysayers and skeptics, and they are saying that Tesla has yet to deliver a product on time, and the company has been faulted repeatedly for quality issues, especially with the Model X battery SUV. So getting the Model 3 to market on time and without quality problems could be essential to fix that reputation among, you know, all these anti-Musk bandwagoners, maybe. But Musk is never short of ideas and has hinted that other products that are in the pipeline, including a SUV based on the same platform as the Model 3, and it will be known as the Model Y.
That's actually a joke here, right? If you place all the Tesla models in line, it spells S3XY. And the second one was supposed to be called Model E, but Ford didn't allow Musk to call it that because of rights issue. So Musk is calling it Model 3. But yeah, Musk has a weird sense of humor and wanted to spell out sexy, you know, with his Tesla models.
Billion-dollar super genius with a 12-year-old sense of humor.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of naysayers and critics, Arvind spoke about Elon Musk's crazy ideas last week on Five for Fortune, and he'll be doing another episode this week, continuing on the same subject. And he basically covers stuff like Musk's far-fetched ideas, including this pickup truck idea, and stuff about space tourism and solar city that many people feel are just big dreams with no substance. But Arvind argues that the ideas are actually not that far-fetched at all, and that all these big inventors in history made big leaps to form the future that we're living in now.
Is Arvind's a bit of a fanboy when it comes to Elon Musk.
Yeah, he gets a bit geeky.
If you listen to episode one last week, you could hear it in his voice. You know, he was just as excited about Elon Musk's ideas as, I guess, Elon Musk was. Well, you can check out part one of that episode on our BFM app. And a new episode airs this Wednesday. It's part two of Elon Musk's crazy ideas that aren't really that crazy. This Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. For now, we're going to take a quick break for some music and messages. But when we come back, we talk about the retail collapse of 2017. That's up next, BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Angie and Audrey. So if you're in the retail industry here in Malaysia, there's a possibility you haven't really felt the effects of a slowdown yet. But over in the US of A, the start of 2017 has been merciless when it comes to retail store closings. As analysts say, online shopping takes its toll on even the most popular brands.
Yeah, I mean, is your favorite retailer closing shop? Well, we thought we'd run through some big retail players that are taking a hit this year, just so you know how severe the situation is over the States, over in the States. So, you know, shall we do this in alphabetical order, Odds?
Let's start with Abercrombie and Fitch. CNBC reports that the preppy classic clothing store is closing 60 U.S. stores this fiscal year, as all these shops' leases expire. This follows the closing of 53 domestic shops last year, and this likely won't be the end of it. The company has more than 700 locations, and half of them have leases that will be up for renewal by the end of next year. So, look forward to more closings.
Yeah, and then there's Aeropostale. The teen clothing store filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in May 2016. After losing money for 13 consecutive quarters, they announced the closing of 154 of its approximately 800 locations, with 113 closings in the US and 41 Canadian locations closing.
Yeah, so all Canadian shops are closing there. Mm. Then we have American Apparel, the signature made in the USA California-based brand. They will be closing all 110 of their shops by the end of this month, also according to CNBC. And then we heard earlier this year that a Canada-based company had won the auction rights to the brand, but they apparently don't plan on taking on any of those 110 stores. So all American Apparel shops will begin shutting down soon.
Wow. Yeah, and next is the American Eagle Outfitters. American Eagle has been struggling as sales have been dropping in the last few years. And in 2013, the company announced it would close 150 of its approximately 1,000 stores over a three-year period.
Yeah, which is right now.
Yeah.
So then BCBG Max Azria Group, right? So they filed for bankruptcy protection last month. The company is closing about 120 stores, mostly in the U.S. liquidation sales started in... mostly in the U.S. Liquidation sales started in February and will run 8 to 10 weeks before the stores close for good.
Yeah.
And of course, BB Stores Inc., the specialty women's apparel chain, they will close 21 of their 172 locations, which is like 12% of their outlets.
Mm. There's also Casual Adventure, the outdoor equipment outfitter in Arlington, Virginia, is closing its doors after 61 years of business. The family-owned store has been operated by four generations, but can't stay open any longer due to online competition and growing demand for property.
Yeah. Children's Place, the children's clothing company plans to close up to 300 stores through 2020 to focus on online shopping. And they began downsizing, I think, back in 2015. But a surge in profit during the first quarter of this year looks encouraging. So we'll see what happens then.
Mm. And then there's also Crocs. Forbes reports that the plastic clog company will close 160 of its 558 stores by the end of 2018. And then we also have GameStop, the new and used video game retailer, announced last month that it would be closing 2 to 3% of its global store footprint, which could mean as many as 190 stores. GameStop currently has more than 6,600 stores globally, with 4,400 in the US.
Yeah. Electronics retailer giant H.H. Gregg is going out of business after more than 60 years. The company announced last month it plans to begin closing 88 of its 130 plus stores and three major distribution centers. Liquidation sales are currently underway and should be completed any time now.
Mm, we also have JCPenney. The nearly 115-year-old department store announced in February that it will close 130 to 140 stores and two distribution centers over the next few months. But reverse course just last Thursday, announcing that it has postponed liquidation sales and closures of the stores.
Yeah. Camp Mill Music, after more than 40 years selling music in 36 locations, all across the United States, they closed their last store in March, ending a music legacy that many music lovers in the U.S. and musicians in the U.S. Will be, you know, quite sad about.
Yeah, and also Kenneth Cole, the clothing store, announced in November that it would close all of its 63 outlet stores in the States over 6 months. The company said it would instead focus on expanding their online and full-price retail footprint across the globe.
Yeah. Then there's The Limited. After 50 years in business, The Limited filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection after closing all 250 stores in January. The store styles will now be available only online.
And let's you know, fast forward now. Okay. Macy's announced in January that it will be shutting down 65 stores this year, 2017. Office Depot, meanwhile, will close 300 more stores in the next 3 years to cut costs by the end of 2018. This is on top of the brand already closing 400 US stores by the end of 2016.
You know, the Payless Shoe Source, they announced early this month that they had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy as well and will close nearly 400 stores in the US and Puerto Rico. Payless has about 4,000 stores in more than 30 countries, so 400 are gone.
And then also Radio Shack filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy for the second time in just over 2 years. The company is currently in the process of closing 200 stores and will then evaluate options for the remaining 1,300 locations.
Ralph Lauren, the luxury brand, announced early this month that it will not renew the lease on its flagship Fifth Avenue store in New York City. You know, that's like the big one, like the landmark, right? It also plans to close more than 50 stores in the U.S. and focus on its three core brands.
And then we also have finally the Wet Seal. The teen apparel retailer filed for bankruptcy protection in February for the second time after filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2015. The company plans to close all of its 150 stores this spring.
Yeah, pretty grim news for these retailers. And if it's got you feeling glum and concerned about how online shopping will affect your business here in Malaysia, well, we may have sort of a solution for you, a retail event that will not only give you insights into how to survive 2017, but also how to rock it in the retail sphere. We'll be back with event listings and more information on that event on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angeline and Audrey. All right, as promised, we're about to get into our weekly roundup of notable events that you should be attending. But before that, a quick recap of the stories we covered on Biz Bytes today.
Yep, so we kick things off with the shocking story of Aspen Pharmacare, the pharmaceutical giant that plotted to destroy cancer drugs to drive prices up 4,000%. Crazy. And then we moved on to news of Tesla building a pickup and a semi-truck now. And finally, just before the break, the major retailers in the U.S. that are closing shop as they are affected by new buying trends and, of course, the meteoric rise of online shopping.
Yeah, and if you're already feeling the effects of a slowdown in the retail segment of your business, well, we may have a solution for you. BFM, we are organizing our first retail conference, and it's called Enterprise Rocks. It's short for Retail, Outlets, Commerce, Kiosks and Shopping. That spells ROCKS. And we'll be bringing in speakers like Hans-Peter Russell from Lazada, Lisette Shears from Nala Designs, Lim Sheng Fei Xiang from Major Drop, and Christy Ng, among others, for the event. All these folks managed to balance both their online and offline presence to thrive in the retail space. So we will dive into how they tapped into the Malaysian market and built loyalty with their customers.
Yeah, and even Danny Chua from Maxis is joining us. He's the guy behind Maxis Enterprise and focuses on O2O platforms, especially mobile, e-commerce, retail, POS, NFC, you name it. Yep. But it doesn't just end there with the online-offline topics. We'll also focus on traditional retail, because at the end of the day, the fact is that majority of the retail market share lies in the brick and mortar. Yeah. So we have DKSH, who is responsible for brands like Old Town White Coffee, Frito-Lay, even Tiger Balm. Their strength is in distribution, and they help those brands to have direct access to retail channels.
And that will be really good insight. I mean, it'd be great to get insights from their expertise, right? And we have many more speakers lined up, but we don't want to give too much away. We're playing coy here. All we can say is you don't want to miss out on this event. It's happening on May 15th at Nexus Convention Center in Bangsa South. We actually have an early bird ticket promotion going on right now. Buy one for one at 189 ringgit. That gives you two tickets. So head on over to www.bfm.com lean.my/rocks to find out more.
Yep, and moving on to the next event on our list is the Lean Startup Methodology, the Tool for Corporate Innovation. It's a three-day program. This Lean Startup Methodology, G, is a proven innovation tool that has inspired many companies like GE in transforming their organization culture.
Yeah, what GE did was they have their own version of this methodology called FastWorks. This, of course, helps you embrace this framework into corporation and empowers the entire organization to embody the spirit of entrepreneurship. So this is happening tomorrow onwards, all the way until Thursday, 18th to the 20th of April at Kazana Innovation Space, Menara UEM. Tickets are priced at 5,800 ringgit. Check out PeteTix.com.
And that's all we have for Enterprise Biz Bites. Up next, really soon, is the Breakfast Grill replay with Dato Reza Rafiq, the Chief Executive at Northern Corridor Implementation Authority, NCIA. And the NCIA has plans to transform the Northern Economic Corridor, which includes states of Perak, Kedah, Perlis, Penang, into a world-class economic region and create jobs in key industries by 2025. So Julian Ng finds out how they plan to achieve this mammoth task.
Yep, so thank you for listening. My name is Audrey Raj, together with Angeline Tay on Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.